The Reformation was an attempt to answer the most fundamental questions of life then, and those questions endure today.
Pastor Matt Harrison, president of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, talking about his presentation at this summer's Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference.
Who is God? Who am I? Where is God found? What does God make of us? Who is Christ? What's the purpose of my life? Why does suffering happen? All those questions remain absolutely pertinent, and the answers that were given in the Reformation are absolutely relevant today.
You can meet and hear Pastor Matt Harrison making the case for the Reformation's relevancy at the Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference in Collinsville, Illinois. For more information, call 618-223-8385 or visit issuesetc.org. The Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference, June 9th and 10th in Collinsville, Illinois.
There's a social justice super clause. In other words, all laws should be interpreted according to the demands and dictates of social justice.
You know, the feminists used to say the personal is political. And we should have listened to them when they said that because they meant it. And what they meant was that absolutely every detail of your life would become politicized and that they meant to get into your life.
What we find here revealed in Job is that the point of being a Christian is Christ, is knowing Him who is the Son of God, our Savior, our Redeemer, who shed His blood for us.
Homemakers in Indiana love Issues Etc.
Scripture does talk about a time when suffering and pain and sorrow and grief will be no more, in that new heaven and that new earth toward which Christians look and hope when Christ returns, raised from the dead to raise us from the dead and to bring about that new kingdom, that new creation. But in the meantime, there is suffering, there is sorrow, there is pain, there is grief. And at the heart of all of that is death. So how does the Christian do what Scripture says the Christian does do, which is we grieve, but we do not grieve as though we had no hope. We grieve with hope. Greetings and welcome to Issues Etc. back live on this Monday afternoon, June the 5th. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. Pastor Matt Harrison, president of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, joins us here for the first half hour to talk about suffering, grief, and hope, subject that of late is not merely theoretical or even pastoral, but also personal for him. A little bit later, part 7 of our series responding to Roman Catholic proof text today, John 21:25 is often cited as a text saying that Scripture is insufficient, that we need more than Scripture because even Scripture says there's more that happened and we'll know what that is in due time, often used by Roman Catholic apologists to say that's where the authority and the teaching of the Church comes in. How do we deal with that issue of Scripture and tradition? We'll talk about that with Pastor Stephen Parks of Concordia University, Irvine, California. You can join us with your questions or your comments over the next 2 hours. Our call-in number, 1-877-623-6943, 877-623-MYIE. Send us an email, talkback at issuesetc.org, a tweet at issuesetc, and the Issues Etc. comment line open 24/7 for all of our listeners, 618-223-8382. Joining us to talk about suffering, grief, and hope, Pastor Matt Harrison, president of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, author, editor, and translator of numerous books, including his latest Letters from a Pastor's Heart. He's also written recent columns for the Lutheran Witness magazine titled Why We Suffer Trials and Grieving with Hope. Matt, welcome back to Issues Etc.
Great to be here, as always.
This subject of suffering, grief, and hope isn't just theoretical or even a pastoral for you. It's also, of late, personal. Talk about that.
Well, I somewhat hesitate to speak about this, but a good friend told me recently that things that you talk about become less and things that you hold in become more. That's kind of some wise, I think, psychological advice. Yeah, about 5 years ago or so, my brother survived pancreatic cancer miraculously. and Steve Jobs had it about the same time. My brother had the good fortune to be at a place where some of the nation's leading experts in the disease worked, and a surgeon did a fabulous job for him. He was given a clean bill of health, and then, oh, a couple years later, he was diagnosed with leukemia, unrelated. And he went through therapy for that, chemotherapy and radiation, and he survived that too and was given a clean bill of health, and we just couldn't believe it. I mean, it was remarkable. I went down there a year ago to help him do some yard work because he was quite weak at the time from all the therapy. And about, you know, every 15 minutes, he'd just put his arm around me and say, "Oh, I'm so glad to be alive." And he'd tell me, "I love you." And what happened was the leukemia came back, and just Wednesday before Easter, he had a stroke in the middle of the night, quite strangely, and it was probably from the leukemia messing with his blood count. And I had heard about that, and he was working toward rehabilitation and getting his swallowing back. He still was fine. His legs could move. He just had some loss in his left arm and some facial loss of, drooping face on the one side. And then my sister-in-law called. We were out for Easter dinner after church and called and said that he had had another massive stroke. And she asked if I would come down. And so I went down first thing on Monday morning after Easter, and then proceeded to spend time with him, giving my sister-in-law a break now and then and allowing her to get home, get cleaned up, etc. And it was in the course of that week that he just got weaker and weaker as his brain swelled. And the prognosis was terrible because they couldn't treat the leukemia because of the weakened condition he was in because of the stroke. And so one decision was made after another. My sister-in-law made good decisions all the way along about his treatment, and then all treatment was exhausted by Friday, and by Thursday actually, and then he was taken to hospice and passed away the next day at 3:30 in the afternoon, which it was quite a horrible thing, actually, to live through. I've been at the bedside of, I tried to be at the bedside of all my parishioners as they were going through death, and saw it many times. It's just a horrid, horrid thing. And then to see it with my own brother was a level of suffering that I had not experienced previously.
So the grief, obvious, you know, in your telling of that story, how do you see this grief from both that personal and then that pastoral perspective, now that it's touched you in this way?
Well, thank God our four parents, my wife and I, our four parents are still living. They're, Kathy's mom is 90 and ailing. Her dad's 93 and golfing. My parents are about 80 and in pretty good health. And I had not, I had been fortunate, had not suffered the loss of a sibling. And the first thing I noticed was just that the pain of grief was absolutely visceral. I mean, when we often talk about the pain of grief, we think of an emotional pain. But I was taken really by actual physical pain, just an aching, and it revives even as I speak about it, an aching in my stomach over this. I thought about Jesus when he came to Mary and Martha's house, and Jesus tarried. The message got to him. He was down by the Jordan. "Come on, your friend Lazarus is sick, and he's not doing well. You need to go." And Jesus waits. He doesn't go right away. Then he says some strange things, like, Lazarus is not asleep, he's dead. And I'm glad, for your sakes, that I was not there. And he goes to the home, and of course you know the story. Mary and Martha are deeply disappointed that he had not come earlier. Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. And then very soon after, the shortest verse in the Bible says, Jesus wept. Now, isn't it strange that he weeps when he knows he's going to raise the guy from the dead, like lickety-split? I mean, this is one thing that really shows you the depth of the truth of the Bible. If these were just stories about some miracle worker, some spoof, you know, some canard would have been written that, you know, Jesus hopped and skipped and said, death is no big deal, I'm going to raise him up, so keep smiling. And then they all, you know, get together and sing Kumbaya happily and go raise Lazarus. And Jesus goes off into the sunset as a hero. But that's not what he does. He weeps. And if the Son of God, who is like us in every way save sin, weeps over death and the death of a friend, then that is a profound insight that in and of itself, sorrow at the loss of a loved one or a dear friend is not sinful. And that's kind of a relief of a burden. Although everything I do as a sinner is shot through with sin. So, you know, you can't do anything without sin around. I noted a couple of incidents in the life of Luther. Luther lost an infant child right about the time the plague was raging in Wittenberg. The child, it was 1527, and the child lived for about 6 months. And Luther says, you know, I know the child is in heaven. I know the child is fine, and I believe in the resurrection. So why does it hurt so badly? And then his daughter Magdalena died, and she was, I think, like 13 or so, 12 maybe. And there's a Table Talk reference where the events are described, and Luther is weeping. He's on his knees on her bedside, pleading with God to spare her. And Katie, his wife, is standing off for grief a little further from the bed. And after she died, Luther says the same thing again. I know she's with Christ, and I don't doubt it. So why do I grieve so terribly? I think we grieve for the reasons that we realize our own finality. But my brother's life on earth came to a close. There will be no more. There's no more. He had planned a fishing trip for us next week. In fact, this week, I would have been in a boat on Many Point Lake in northern Minnesota with him. First time we would have gone there for 40 years. We used to go to this lake when we were all kids, year after year. I'd be fishing with him and my dad right now. And that won't happen. There's a finality. The chapter, the end, is written. The book is closed. And that's sad. But, you know, the beautiful thing is that he had been away from church for 35 years. And when he got sick, I asked him, you know, I'm not trying to pull a fast one on you. I just want to know if you want a pastor to come and see you. And these great Missouri Synod pastors in Keller, Texas, and Waco, they went to him at the drop of a hat. And they loved him. They started giving him the sacrament. And then when the cancer recurred, it was a little over a year ago, he called me up. He said, you know, it had recurred and he had survived it. He called me up and he said, guess what I did today? I went to church. And he said, best thing I ever did. And what a joy. My dad had told him, you know, I had been praying every time I went to the Lord's Supper, I've been praying for you for almost 40 years to go back to church. Prayers answered, miraculously. First time he showed up in church, they had already been praying for him in the Sunday prayers. So he hears his name in the Sunday prayers. I can't thank God enough for those pastors. They're just fantastic. And in God's cruciform way, that's how the Lord decided to bring my brother to eternal life. And so I have this strange combination, which is hard to describe, of just at times visceral pain that is easing, by the way. As my friends and fellow pastors at conferences have asked me about this, I've talked about it a little bit privately, and I noticed after talking about it, I the grief eased. And so at once we have this, I have this grief, my family, my poor parents, much worse than I, you know, just, and I knew that for years working as a parish pastor, still do it, that losing a child is the most difficult thing to go through. But we have hope. Jesus Christ died for our sins and rose again for our justification. And my dear brother was baptized, and what a joy. What a joy at the visitation at the funeral. Two of his old buddies, themselves unchurched, came up to me and said, you know, I talked to your brother a month ago, and he said, I went back to church. You should too. Best thing I ever did. That was fantastic. So I'm quite sure in our lives and the lives of his family that the Lord is working his crosses for a purpose. His crosses are always purposeful. They were purposeful in the life of my brother, and they're purposeful in the life of my parents. They're purposeful in my life, the life of my sister and my extended family, my dear wife and boys who knew and loved their uncle. And so we hope. We hope. We grieve not as those who have no hope. That's what it is to be a Christian amidst trials and sufferings.
Pastor Matt Harrison is our guest, president of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. We're talking about suffering, grief, and hope. When we come back, we'll talk about how God uses trial and suffering to make of every Christian a theologian. Stay tuned. Matt Harrison, Chris Rosebro, Aaron Wolf, Peter Bender, Todd Peppercorn, and Terry Mattingly will be speaking at the 2017 Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference, Friday, June 9th and Saturday, June 10th in Collinsville, Illinois, about 15 miles east of St. Louis. Registration is $120. For more information, visit issuesetc.org. The Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference, June 9th and 10th in Collinsville, Illinois. issuesetc.org.
The Consortium for Classical Lutheran Education invites you to attend our Reformation Summer Conference, July 11 through 13, 2017 in Cheyenne, Wyoming, focused on truth and education. Speakers include the Reverend Rolf Preuss, Dr. Angus Manouge, and Dr. Thomas Korchak. Enjoy this year's unique banquet experience at a Wyoming bison ranch. Visit ccle.org for more speakers and information. That's ccle.org.
Educating a new generation of Lutherans, you're listening to Issues Etc.
Stuck in traffic? Waiting in line at the grocery store? Do better than scrolling through pictures of your aunt's chai latte and your friend's distraught statuses regarding the football game on Facebook. Download the digital version of the Lutheran Witness and get your theological fix instead. Not a subscriber? Visit cph.org/try Lutheran Witness for a special offer of $6.99 for 6 issues. The Lutheran Witness, interpreting the contemporary world from a Lutheran perspective.
Jesus the Good Teacher, Jesus the Therapist, Jesus the Giver of Bling. The Issues Etc. Book of the Month for June is Will the Real Jesus Please Stand Up? 12 False Christs. It's written by regular guest Dr. Matt Richard. Read an excerpt at issuesetc.org or purchase Will the Real Jesus Please Stand Up by calling Concordia Publishing House 1-800-325-3040. The Issues Etc. Book of the Month, Will the Real Jesus Please Stand Up? Welcome back to Issues, Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. We're talking about suffering, grief, and hope with Pastor Matt Harrison, president of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, author, editor, and translator of numerous books, including his latest, Letters from a Pastor's Heart. He's written recent columns for the Lutheran Witness magazine titled Why We Suffer Trials and Grieving with Hope. You can meet and hear President Harrison making the case for the Reformation's relevancy at this week's Issues, Etc. Making the Case Conference, Friday, June 9th and Saturday, June the 10th in Collinsville, Illinois. Now, it's too late to attend the Making the Case Conference and receive the meal plan, but you can still attend the conference for $80 without the meal plan. Register online at issuesetc.org or call 618-223-8385. The 5th Annual Issues, Etc. Making the Case Conference, June 9th and 10th in Collinsville, Illinois. Matt, you've also recently written about how God will use trial as part of the mechanism, if you will, to make of every Christian a theologian. He has that threefold making of a theologian in prayer and meditation and trial. So talk about that, how God draws us closer through trial to his word and therefore to Christ.
Yes, he said prayer, meditation, and study of God's word make the theologian. And he wrote that, if I remember right, in the preface to the first edition of his works that was published during his life. And prayer is of course, invited by our Heavenly Father in the name of Christ. Prayer for Luther is always prayer that is based on the Word of God. We pray most surely when we pray for what the Lord has asked us to pray for, and he tells us to pray for our health, tells us to pray for our neighbors, he tells us to pray for our enemies. Jesus commands us to pray. Jesus invites us to pray. He says, pray for your daily bread. Pray for the forgiveness of sins. Gives us this wonderful Lord's Prayer. And then secondarily, Luther says meditation, and that is specifically meditation upon the Word of God. It's looking at texts in a serious way, letting the words get to your heart and dwell in you as you dwell on them. And we get that meditation when we sing hymns, when we hear lessons read, when we read the Bible, when we hear sermons that are biblical and give us law and gospel. And then Luther says, but there's one thing that brings it all together. And I don't know about you, Todd, but I can certainly guess that you're just like me, and that is you wouldn't pray much and you wouldn't bother much with the Word of God if you didn't deal with trials and afflictions in life. And it's these trials that are brought to us purposefully. Luther talks about the way God works in a cruciform way, in a kind of a hidden way. You know, I always think of that story in Genesis of the patriarch Jacob wrestling with the angel at Peniel. And I always thinking like, well, this is like a sumo match, maybe not that violent, just kind of a regular Greco-Roman match. But the reality is, Jacob thinks that guy wrestling him is going to kill him. Then the Lord lets Jacob at least wrestle him equal. And he says, I won't let you go lest you bless me. He figures out something divine is going on. It's painful, and he's given a painful limp the rest of his life to remind him of it. And yet, he's wrestling with God, and God is using this event to bless him. A lot of times, blessings come in strange ways, and the one I always mention is Christ on the cross. You know, if you were there, you would think it was purposeless, that there was no point to this, that Jesus dies a complete failure, that God hates him and anybody who was relying on him to be the Messiah. But, and then there's a, you know, that great line from the end of Luke's gospel, the road to Emmaus. We thought he was the one to redeem Israel. disciples walking along, speaking unknowingly to Jesus, say, "But they killed him." This has got to be the biggest, you know, the most wonderful ironic statement in the whole Bible. We thought he would redeem Israel, but they killed him. And so it was specifically in the suffering and death that he redeemed Israel. And so Paul says that we participate in the sufferings of Christ. That suffering, Hebrews 12, is a discipline like a father has for a child. And that suffering grows faith and love and hope. And it's even possible, as Paul says in many places, to be joyous. Rejoice. Again, I say rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Apostle Peter says suffering is something that is inevitable for the confessing Christian and yet produces blessings. And so it does. I miss my brother dearly. I wish I could call him. What delight. I was several days into being by his bedside as he was declining, and I discovered he had left on Easter Sunday, the day he had had the massive stroke. He left me a 4-second voicemail message on my phone. "Hi, Matt. Happy Easter." Click. Yes, happy Easter.
Pastor Matt Harrison is president of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, author and editor and translator of numerous books, including his latest Letters from a Pastor's Heart. He's also written recent columns for the Lutheran Witness magazine titled Why We Suffer Trials and Grieving with Hope. Matt, we're looking forward to seeing you on Saturday at the Issues Etc. Making the Case conference.
Be great to be there. What am I speaking on this year?
the relevancy of the Reformation.
Oh, why are you still talking about that old thing?
Folks, you can read these columns by subscribing to the Lutheran Witness and all the columns that they publish, the Lutheran Witness magazine. They will send you 6 digital or print issues for only $6.99. Learn more at cph.org/try-Lutheran-Witness. The Lutheran Witness, interpreting the contemporary world from a Lutheran perspective. cph.org/try-Lutheran-Witness. When we come back, we continue our series on responding to Roman Catholic proof texts. One of them is John 21:25, and from that text, some Roman Catholic apologists say that Scripture itself talks about its own insufficiency. We'll get into that with Pastor Stephen Parks after this.
Many Lutheran pastors outside of the U.S. receive little or no seminary education. Luther Academy provides theological triage through conferences, books, and journals. Help support Luther Academy by making a tax-deductible donation at lutheracademy.com or call 260-452-2211. Serving Lutheran pastors to the ends of the earth, Luther Academy, 260-452-2211 or lutheracademy.com.
At Concordia University Irvine, you can pursue advanced theological study for academic, professional, or personal development. Concordia's Master of Arts in Theology program is grounded in the truth of Scripture and insights from the Lutheran Confessions. Courses are taught online and at intensive on-campus sessions in the summer. Apologetics, Christian education leadership, and Reformation studies are just a few of the emphases offered. For more information, visit cui.edu/theology.
Hi, this is Pastor Brian Katchelmeyer of Redeemer Lutheran Church in Los Alamos, New Mexico. Over the next 5 years, Los Alamos National Laboratory is planning to hire thousands of new employees in the areas of science, engineering, security, administration, and construction. If you have both a technical and confessional mind, Los Alamos may be the place for you. I invite you to explore the possibilities on the websites for the Town, Laboratory, and Redeemer Lutheran Church.
Metro East Lutheran High School in Edwardsville, Illinois, engages young adults in a Christ-centered environment, delivering academic excellence and spiritual growth to develop Christian leaders for tomorrow. We provide a Christ-focused alternative to public high schools. Many of our students receive tuition assistance. To help us provide tuition assistance to more students, go to melhs.org and click on the giving page. Or call me, Dr. J. Krause, principal, at 618-656-0043.
Where doctrine is life. You're listening to Issues Etc.
I'm delighted to be chairman of Preach the Word Project, a project of our synod to strengthen the preaching of all of us pastors in the synod. We know how eternally important that is.
Issues Etc. regular guest Dr. Carl Fekencher talking about the new Preach the Word Project.
So we've put together a program of 12 modules that will be coming out this year and over the next 3 years on a variety of preaching topics for pastors to do together with two other pastors, two guys they trust, two guys they feel comfortable with, written materials and very fine video quality materials that are now becoming available.
Preach the Word helps pastors work together to improve their preaching with several resources and by interacting with seminary professors and fellow preachers. Find out more at lcms.org/preachtheword. lcms.org/preachtheword. Preaching is challenging business. We all can use some fresh ideas. lcms.org/preachtheword.